telling you, God's going to give you the answer to what you need if you'll open your heart and open your mind. Why don't you give the Lord one more hand clap of praise as the man of God comes.
Let's magnify him together. Oh, let the Holy Ghost continue to work in this house. Let the Spirit of God continue. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a mighty God. What a mighty God you are, Jesus. How excellent is your holy name in all of the earth. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. What an awesome God that we serve. The song says, he sits high, but he looks low. And he guides my feet wherever I go. God is a great God who created the heavens and the earth. And yet he knows the number of the very hairs of your head. If you don't think God's not interested in you, amen, I want to tell you about a God who is certainly interested in you. Amen. He knows all about your life. Nothing is hid from him, and yet there is nothing that he won't forgive you of. Praise God. I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. It is such a wonderful privilege to be in this pulpit and to be ministering in this house. We give honor today to your good pastor and the first lady of this church. I know you love your pastor and appreciate him today. Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to give honor today to the bishop and Sister Copeland. We love them very dearly. Amen. Pastor Copeland and I, or Bishop Copeland and I, knew one another. I don't even know when we first met, but it was somewhere way back there in another life. Too many years back for either one of us to want to really remember how many years it was. We were teenage. And we were probably both teenagers when we met one another. I think I have 1 year on him. He's 66 and I'm 67. So our connections have been for many, many years. And I told somebody the other day, I said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. But they said that this little girl was sitting in her grandfather's lap, and he was reading her a book. And while he was reading, she would reach up and she would stroke his face, you know, rub his face, and then she would reach down and she'd touch her face. And so she'd go back up and she'd kind of rub on her grandpa's face, and she'd come back and rub on hers. Finally, she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "God made me, but he made me a long, long time ago." She said, "Did God make me?" He said, "Yeah, God made you, but he just made you a short time ago." She looked up at him and she said, "Boy, he's getting better at it, ain't he?" Amen. Hallelujah. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. You don't ever know what they're going to say. never know what they're going to say. I am the proud grandfather of a little girl named Gracie. Many of you know her. And she's quite the character at times. And you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. But she's, she was with me and spent the night with my wife and I at Little Rock Camp Meeting a couple years ago. And my wife and I took her down to the breakfast area in the hotel to give her some breakfast and to eat a little bit. And so Caleb Adams and Christy Adams from Memphis, Tennessee, came down with their daughter, Christiana. And Christiana's been like a little adopted granddaughter for me for a number of years. And so about once a year when I see Christiana somewhere, I'll slip her a $20 bill, you know, or give her a little something. And so, because I've known her since she was just an infant. And so that morning when they came down, I'd found out that Christiana was sick. So I went into the serving area and I took a 20 out and kind of folded it in my hands and was going to go over and just kind of slip it to Christiana without Gracie seeing it. And unbeknownst to me, Gracie's watching every move I make. And when I went over and I slipped that $20 bill into Christiana's hand and I hugged her and told her I was praying for that she'd feel better, Gracie wheeled to her meemaw and said, "Meemaw, that is not even his granddaughter." Amen. So you never know. Amen. Isn't living for God fun? Isn't it wonderful living for God? It's a great life living for the Lord. Ah, hallelujah. All right, let's go to the Word of God, the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 13. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. Here's what the scripture says. The slothful man saith, "There is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." The slothful man saith, "There is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you on this subject, the bondage of excuses. Amen. The bondage of excuses. And everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise God. Brother Caleb, if you could bump me a little bit on this, I'd appreciate it. It would be so kind of you. Amen. I love sound men. Amen. Some sound men are going to go to heaven, and some sound men are going to go to hello. Amen. The Bible talks about the slothful man. And when you look at the definition of the word slothful, it means lazy. Now, there's a couple of synonyms. One is that of a sluggard. And there's another synonym that is indolent. So when you study the life of a sluggard, you discover that a sluggard is not a self-starter. To a slothful man or to a sluggard, one day is just as good as another. He assumes that what he does not do today can be just as easily done tomorrow. So what happens with a sluggard is he never reaches a point where he understands the value of time or the meaning of seasons. His basic philosophy is to live for the moment and let the future take its own course. So when you really wash it all out, you find that essentially the sluggard is one who does not want to take responsibility for his own actions. And unfortunately, we are living in a time where that is a major problem in the world that we currently live in. I'm going to tell you that society today is plagued with that attitude. In fact, I would say that it's practically in epidemic proportion. It is a sad state of affairs that we have come to. Now, when I read the book of Acts, I read the message that the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. When the crowd said, "What meaneth this?" he immediately begins to explain what's going on about this tongue-talking business, this Holy Ghost business. And he begins by saying, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." He said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And then he commences to preach a message that stirs the heart of the people that are listening. And he reaches a point where he makes the statement, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." And the Bible said when they heard these words, they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So there was a question asked in that day, and there was an answer given that is the same answer to the same question in 2020. When you want to live for God, when you want to walk with God, the answer's the same. Just because it's been almost 2,000 years since the first question was asked and the first answer was given doesn't mean that the answer has changed. Because what he said in Acts 2:38 is the same answer today that has always been for all mankind. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The answer's the same. The answer's the same. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what nation you're in. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what your life has been. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are. It doesn't matter what your culture is. The answer is the same. Hallelujah. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a FaceTime call with a young man that I had connected with in the country of Gambia, in the continent of Africa. And the Lord opened the door and I began to talk to him the plan of salvation. And he understood the plan of salvation. But he's by himself. There's no one around that has this truth. And somebody said, "What did you do?" Well, I'll tell you what I did. And if you got a better answer, then you tell me what I ought to do in this respect. But I said, "You go out to the river and you take your sister with you. You hold your telephone up where I can see you in the water." And I said, "You're going to hear me say, I now baptize you, Madu, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And I said, "You're going to go down under the water in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. And earlier this week in a prayer meeting, again over FaceTime, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Somebody shout amen. Because you see, you got to understand that the next verse is just as important as Acts 2:38. "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That's why we stand in this pulpit this morning and tell you that the same message that was preached at Pentecost is a valid message for today's situation. The world we live in needs Jesus. I said the world we live in needs Jesus. They don't need another social program. They need Jesus. Well, I'm going to preach what I feel here this morning. It's not another protest that the world needs. It's more preaching on the name of Jesus that they need. Well, hallelujah. Now that was verse 38, and then that was verse 39. Now we get to verse number 40, and here's what the scripture says. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So what we find in Acts chapter 2 recorded as what Simon Peter preached is not all the message he preached. There was a lot said after Acts 2:38 and 39. We do not have it written out. It was not transcribed for us. However, we have the sum of the balance of the message. And the summation was this: save yourselves from this untoward generation. What Simon Peter was preaching was simply this: you have a personal responsibility to your salvation. If you want to be saved, you got to make up your mind, I want to be saved. I desire to be saved. I must be saved. And whatever it takes, I will be saved. Amen. You can't blame somebody else if you're lost. You can't blame your mom if you're lost. You can't blame your daddy if you're lost. You can't blame your friends if you're lost. Well, hallelujah. You have a personal responsibility to make up your mind, I'm living for God. In fact, I'll tell you how important that message of personal responsibility is. When you start with Acts 2:40 and you read the balance of the New Testament, you are going to find over 40 references to your personal responsibility. 40 plus references to you being responsible for your own walk with God. I'm not reading all of them, but here are a few of them. He said, yield yourselves unto God. Give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Submit yourselves one to another. Withdraw yourself from every brother who walks disorderly. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. And it's in the book of Jude where it said, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that sound like? That sounds like to me that I have a personal responsibility to live for God for myself. Did you know that the one thing that the Bible tells us we are not to take personal responsibility for, and that is avenging ourselves? And that's what the one thing that most people do, and they don't do any of the other. Amen. The Bible teaches us that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Let God take care of your battle, but you take the responsibility of walking with Him, of living for Him, of being what you're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Somebody praise Him right now. Hallelujah. So we live in a society today that's constantly looking for someone else to blame for their problems and for their misfortunes in life. We need a generation that's going to rise up and assume responsibility for their life and their future. Oh, I feel Holy Ghost in the house. Don't get quiet on me now. You get quiet on me, I feel like I need to stop and preach a little bit on some areas. Amen. Can I get a witness in this house? I said, can I get a witness in this house? Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a world where people feel like that they are deserving of some things and everybody else owes them something. It's what we call an entitlement mentality. You can't live for God with an entitlement mentality. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe you anything. You owe God everything. You owe him your life. You owe him your breath. You owe him every part of your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, church. The only thing that the church owes you and the only thing the preacher owes you is to tell you the truth of what it takes to be saved, what it takes to live for God, what it takes to be what God wants you to be. Somebody shout amen. That's all the announcements. Glory to God. Let's get back to the slothful man. Because the slothful man is a lazy man. He creates, now listen, he creates an imaginary problem that excuses him from doing what he should be doing or justifies himself in staying in the house where he is, or we could say the place that he is in. He creates an imaginary problem. The slothful man saith, he didn't say I see a lion in the street, he just says there is a lion in the street. I shall be slain without. There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. And so what he does by creating an imaginary problem is he lives in the prison of his problem. He lives in the prison of his imagination. He imagines there's a lion out there. He saith, there's a lion without. If I go outside, if I make any move, if I leave my house, then I'll get slain in the street. That's his problem. His problem is an imaginary problem. Oh, hallelujah. And so today in this house, I believe with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with everything in me, that I am preaching to people that are living in the bondage of their excuses. But I'm not here today to just talk or preach about your problem. Amen. Neither am I going to preach about your excuses. But I've come to tell you there is not a lion in the street. There is no lion in the street, and it's time for you to come out of your prison that you are in. It's time for you to be free from your bondage. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, it's time to be free from your fear. Time to be free from your doubts. It's time to be free from your inhibitions. You need to get an attitude like the Apostle Paul had when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. No mountain too high, no valley too low, no river too wide, no trouble too great. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that can keep me from living for God. I can do it. I can do it. I can be what God wants me to be. I can live the way God wants me to live. I can walk the way God wants me to walk. Come on, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody that would get a lion-killing spirit in you here today. I'll tell you what I want to see before we leave this house this morning. I want to see lion's blood flowing down the aisles of this sanctuary. I want to see some lions killed in the altar here today. I want to see some imaginary problems brought down. I want to see some things, amen, destroyed that's keeping people from becoming what they want to be in God. Keeping them from what they want to be in life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, church. Let's kill some lions today. Let's destroy some imaginations. Let's destroy those things that's stopping us. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 10, verse number 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Verse number 4, he said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, if you hold that verse there for a minute, if you look at that verse, you will notice that it is set within parentheses. It is what we call a parenthetical statement. This is a statement that was not in the original writings, but what the translators from the original writings felt was necessary was that they insert statements that would more clarify what was being said. And so when you read that statement, that's a parenthetical statement or an explanation of what is about to be said. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God," amen, "to the pulling down of strongholds." Now what he's about to do in verse number 5 is he is about to establish what the strongholds are. Casting down imaginations. You see, we get it confused sometime, and we think that the strongholds is the first thing that we go after. No, no, no. The strongholds is an explanation of what is in verse number 5. And so what he's telling us in verse number 5 is the number one greatest battle that all of us fight as humans is our imagination. The greatest stronghold that you'll ever have to deal with in your walk with God is your own imagination. Woo, hallelujah. We don't war after the flesh, but we war after the imagination of the mind. And because we imagine things, we imagine problems that don't exist. They imprison us. They lock us down, and they keep us from becoming everything that we can be in God. Oh, hallelujah. He goes on to talk about everything, every high thing that exalts itself. So there's other strongholds, but your number one stronghold is right here between your ears. Oh, hallelujah. It's whatever you're thinking. It's whatever's in your mind. Amen. It's whatever imagination you develop. And if you start imagining everybody's against you, that's going to imprison you. And if you start imagining that you can never live for God, that's a prison for you. If you're imagining that you can never give a home Bible study because you would be a failure, that's a prison house for you. Come on, I'm preaching what I feel in the Holy Ghost here today. Excuses become a place of bondage for us. Excuses become a prison house for us. What we got to do is kill that lion. We got to slaughter that lion. We got to make it clear, ain't nothing going to stop me. Nothing's going to prevent me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. There ain't no devil gonna stop me. Hell's not gonna stop me. My friends are not gonna stop me. My co-workers are not gonna get in my way. Yeah! I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. My daddy was a drug addict, so I guess I'm going to be a drug addict. Praise the Lord. My daddy was an alcoholic, so I guess I'll be an alcoholic. That's a prison. You need to make up your mind right now. I don't care what my mama was. I don't care what my daddy was. I don't have to be that. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to be bound by drugs. I don't have to be bound by alcohol. Amen. Now, Jesus gets on a boat one day and he crosses over the Sea of Gennesaret. And in verse 2 of Mark 5, it said that when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Now later in that chapter we find out that he's possessed with a legion of devils. Now in that time a legion of devils or a legion could number anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000. So we just kind of took a conservative estimate that this man is possessed with at least 2,000 devils. Sounds to me like he's got a real problem. Oh, glory to God. I said, sounds like he's got a real, real problem. Because not only is he possessed with devils, but he's living in the tombs. He could not be bound. They had tried to bind him with chains. They had tried to bind him with fetters. And whenever they would put them on him, that strength that he had because of the demonic power living in him, he broke those chains. He broke those fetters. The Bible said neither could any man tame him. Nobody could make a difference in that man's life. This man had a real problem. He didn't have an imaginary problem. He had a real problem. But the word of the Lord tells us in verse number 6, after it described who he was, what he was, what his problem was, when you get to verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now that tells me something. It tells me a man with a real problem, a man with 6,000 devils in him, could not be stopped from worshiping Jesus Christ. Woo! And if a man with a real problem could not be stopped, some of us with imaginary problems ought not to be stopped. Amen. If a man with a real problem couldn't be stopped from worship, some of us need to get rid of our imaginary problem, because it's just an imagination. If I get out and run the aisle, somebody's going to make fun of me. That's an imagination. If I get out and shout and dance, somebody's going to mock me. That's an imagination. If I become a fanatic for Jesus, that everybody's going to turn against me. That's an imagination. Hallelujah. I got news for you, friend. Ain't nobody worth me going to hell for. Ain't nobody worth me stopping my worship. Nobody's going to keep me from praising him. Nobody's going to keep me from preaching the truth. Nobody's going to stop me in my relationship with God. Ha ha! Hallelujah. I want you to know my mind's made up. 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 Ain't nothing gonna stop me. Nothing's gonna prevent me. Nothing's gonna, come on, come on, come on. We got time for the Holy Ghost to work here today. Yes! Yes! Come on, somebody, there's some more folks in this house. You need to kill a lion and come on down to this altar and get the Holy Ghost. You need to kill that imaginary lion and come on down here and praise him. You need to kill that devil that's stopping you. Yes! Yes! Oh, yes! That's it, that's it. Hallelujah! Come on, church, this is what it's all about. You hear this preacher, I don't have to preach all my notes. If the Holy Ghost steps in, the Holy Ghost works. I'm ready for the Holy Ghost to work. Glory, glory, glory. Come on in close, ladies. There's more coming behind you. Come on in close. Come on. There's more coming down the aisles. Come on in. Hallelujah. Make way for others. There's something happening right now in the spirit. If you need God right now, it's a time to get it. If you need God right now, it's a time to get the Holy Ghost. Right now, it's a time to get your breakthrough. Woo! Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, come on, come on. If you see somebody in the pews, pray them. Pray with them, pray with them, pray with them. There's something happening in the spirit right now. Something's happening in the Holy Ghost right now. There's a breakthrough in the house. There's a breakthrough in the house. Quit making excuses. Kill that lion. Kill that lion. Live for Jesus Christ. Come on, all over the house, in the balcony, down here in the pews. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Let's reach out. Let's reach out. Let's let the Holy Ghost work right now. Let's let the Holy Ghost work right now. Let's let the Holy Ghost operate right now. Ah, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. All over this house right now. All over this house. Let's pray, let's pray. The Holy Ghost is operating right now. People are reaching out. People are reaching out. People are reaching out. Hallelujah. People are reaching out right now. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is falling. The Holy Ghost is operating right now. The Holy Ghost is working. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Come on, young lady. Come on, young men. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. I'm gonna kill me a lion today. I'm killing me a lion. When I leave here, my lion's gonna be dead. Imagination is gonna be dead. Yeah. Thank you. every chain. Oh, yeah, yeah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, come on. There's power. There's power. There's power. Come on, there's power in this house right now. I don't care what your struggle is. It doesn't matter what your battle is. It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing to your life. Break, break every chain. Come on, come on, come on. Break every chain. Come on, come on. He's working, he's working, he's working. He's working, he's working, he's working. Come on, come on, come on, church, it's happening. It's happening all over this house. It's happening all over this house right now. It's happening all over this house right now. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, glory. There's an army rising up. Come on, First Pentecostal. Let the Holy Ghost do it. 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 Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
There is power.
There is power.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah, 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 yeah. To break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, so break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, friend. Don't be controlled by your imagination. Don't be controlled by your imaginary problems. Don't get put in prison by your imaginary problems. Don't get put in prison by your imaginations. Come on, break out, break out, break out. Kill that imaginary line. Let's have revival. Come on, First Pentecostal. Let's have revival. Let's have revival.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
That's it. Breaking out in the Holy Ghost here. There's some lions dying in this house. Lions are dying all over this place. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. First Pentecostal, keep praying, keep pushing, Their souls reaching out. Their souls crying out. Souls are crying out. The Holy Ghost is working right now. The Holy Ghost is working right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.